Good morning, I'm Jamie Caudill. Have you got your tickets for this event with Stratford Perth Museum? We have got Kelly McIntosh here with Stratford Perth Museum, along with legendary Canadian actor, Stratford favorite, Rod Beatty is here, so you know it's a Christmas favorite. Good morning and welcome to both of you. Good to see you.
Lovely to be here, thank you.
Thanks, Jamie. Great to be here.
Kelly, before we get to that, how was the gala? A while back. I know it was a while back, but we haven't chatted too much.
I'm thinking, which gala?
Yeah.
The innkeeper's dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, Rod was there.
There's been a lot of galas.
No, it was a really, really wonderful night in celebration of innkeepers and our members and our community and our history. I mean, history was really on display that night in such a beautiful way. We had some early stakeholders get up and talk about how the museum was started and how the first innkeeper's dinner came together. And then we did 20 minutes of Crayola Girls, the musical,
right,
with Dana Manning and myself and Stacey Smith and Andy Pogson. And there was one joke about Mitchell that really kind of hit it out of the park.
We'll save that for next time.
We shall. But no, it was.
Was that an ad lib, actually?
No, that was a carefully timed joke.
They always are.
The best ones usually are.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it was great, though. We had a wonderful time.
It was something like, no, you're not stressed. You're from Mitchell.
They just act like that.
Yeah, no, excellent. Really, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, thanks for asking, Jamie.
Oh, of course. And we've got another great event fast approaching, Kelly.
We sure do. We have the encore presentation of Rod Beatty's One Human Christmas Carol, where really this is something that Rod began last.
One human, something like there's other creatures.
This is something that you were on the radio last year with John Kastner, and something that you came up with. And I just stepped into the role November the 20th last year, and it was my utter delight to sort of steward that fundraiser that Rod and Doug came up with to the museum. It was so successful that the brothers had a chat with me and said, I think we might be able to do an encore. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Fantastic. So Rod Beatty is here. It's a Christmas Carol, or Rod Beatty's Christmas Carol, as is being billed. Rod, for you, stepping back into this, is it like riding a bicycle, or is it daunting for you? Because this is a one-man show. It's just you on the stage. What's it feel like heading back into this for you?
Well, it's terrifying, is what it is. But it's nice to get back on the bicycle and do it. The bicycle is a little harder to ride at my age, and it takes a little longer to get going.
And we were just mentioning or chatting before coming on here. They didn't really have to twist your arm too hard to be doing this again for Stratford Perth Museum.
I feel like I've done this thing or been around this story all my life, because my dad, when we were little kids, used to read this to us each night for 5 nights before Christmas, and we absolutely loved it. And then I've been in a couple of productions of it, and I've seen a lot of productions of it, and I've thought over the years, you know what, these are actually a little bit too long, and really it's a ghost story, and it is concise. And I thought somebody should do an hour-long version of this, which is really properly paced and gets it done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, hey, I could do that.
Of course you could do that and do it extremely well, for sure. Wonderful. So it's a Christmas Carol. It's at Stratford Perth Museum. And for you, Rod, with all of the characters, is there a character that's particularly hard to get a handle on or whatnot for you? There's so many characters in this story, as he smiles as I'm asking this question.
Yeah, these are awkward questions. they're all hard, and you have to rehearse each one as if it were the only one you were playing, and so they have to each have their moment in the sun. But there are characters that are harder to grasp, and it's including, seems to me, Scrooge himself.
Okay.
The way I do it, the narrator is sort of kind of me, and is Canadian, and but it's a British story with British people, and so the other members of the cast turn out to be British, and I've been able to cast some of my friends and some people that I've known or known of in the business in this thing, and it hasn't always been the same. They've changed around a bit. And they change around without kind of being aware of it. I mean, they seem to be more in charge of it than I am. So that's very interesting. And I think that each time I do it, each year I do it, it kind of develops a bit differently. So it will be interesting for me to see. And it's wonderful to be stewarded by somebody like Kelly, because to have an actual professional actor doing that it's hard to describe, but there's a kind of a commonality and a kind of a shared vocabulary you have with some. Well, you've done it enough that you know this too. And for instance, last year for one of the performances, I was quite ill, and I was feeling badly enough that you feel as if you might not be able to do this. And I came in and Kelly told me that Dr. Theater would take over. And that's a term that we as actors use. And what it refers to is the fact that once you get up there, then it's a different world. And you can be symptom-free for an hour or so. You might go back to being awful after that. But nobody but an actual professional actor could say that. Mm-hmm. An actual professional actor.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, it's that show must go on idea, that's for sure.
That's right. It's an enormous imperative. But it also is something about the process itself, mm-hmm. which is so life-enforcing and so life-giving, that you automatically feel that once you've got an audience in front of you and once it's the occasion.
And what's the process for you heading back into this with A Christmas Carol? Is it going over the lines again? Is it performing it for yourself again? What's the process for you heading back into this?
Sure, you work. You do it every day.
Yeah.
And you try and make sure that you hear the voices and you see the people in your head and you don't cut corners. You don't do an Italian version and do it fast and get over it. You do the whole thing with the full voice each time, because that's what you have to do. That's what gets you into shape to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kelly, let's get Kelly back in on the conversation. So the stage is set here. This is Rod Beatty's A Christmas Carol at Stratford Perth Museum. And great compliments, of course, a fellow. We have two actors here in the studio here working with you on something like this is so fulfilling. So much fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, definitely. And also, what's really wonderful about this, other than, the community coming in full force to get to take in Rod's Christmas Carol, it's also so lovely that it's not only a fundraiser for the museum, but it's a fundraiser for A Child's Smile. Last year was United Way, and this year it's for A Child's Smile, which is what you and Doug chose.
Yeah, we looked for something more local, because this is a local event, and we wanted to support mm-hmm. something local, like a radio station.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea.
Yeah, and it's very much in keeping with that Dickensian spirit this time of year, and so that's really wonderful. Also, we have a sponsor this year, which I'd really like to thank Breen Bentley for coming on. So Bentley's, the wonderful Bentley's Inn and Bar is sponsoring Rod's performance this year, which is fantastic. And also, tickets really have been selling well.
Yeah.
I think the Saturday and Sunday, there may be a couple of tickets left for the 14th. The 21st and the 22nd, the Saturday and Sunday, there are still tickets. They're going fast. The Friday, there's two evening shows. One is on December the 20th and December the 23rd, which is very special because it's the eve of the eve, or as they say in Newfoundland, Tibbs Eve.
Yeah, I was going to have to ask you about that. What is Tibbs Eve all about?
Well, Tibbs Eve, I found out about Tibbs Eve when there was a large amount of people came to work with Gillian Kiley at the festival when she was here directing from Newfoundland. And it was just a great group of people came, and I wasn't working at the festival at all, but somehow managed to be welcomed into that group. And so they would have a Tibbs Eve party on the 23rd, and they'd invite in the community, and we all had kids, and even though a lot of them have gone back to Newfoundland, we still carry it on. So right after Rod's performance on the 23rd, I'll be off to Tibbs Eve with this fantastic community. And it has something to do in Newfoundland of, I think at a certain point you weren't allowed to raise a glass on Christmas Eve.
Mm.
So you raise a lot of glasses on the 23rd. There is some kind of funny rule about that.
Very odd for Newfoundland.
Yeah. Oh, and I just want to say, what a Child Smile, the charity is about, the local charity, it's about raising funds so that gifts for children from economically challenged families can have more of a Christmas, which is really a beautiful
thing. Yeah, which is pretty amazing. That's John Gray endorsed Neumeister with that, locally, Child Smile, and they distribute those to the local agencies and make it a wonderful Christmas for area families and more. So again, we'll pass along all the show dates, all the times. How can people get tickets? That's the main thing. How can people get tickets?
There's two ways. One is you can go to the Stratford Perth Museum website and look at the top, and it says buy tickets, and it will take you to our ticket purchasing platform. If buying tickets online or the internet is a barrier for you, we have you covered. Just call us at the museum and we can arrange, and you can come in and purchase your tickets in any way you want. We'll help you out. And our phone number at the museum is 519-393-5311.
Perfect. And we should mention it's a licensed event. There's going to be snacks and so much more
it's
on
always
hand.
Snacks. Yeah, the always. Hard to say that. This is a licensed event with snacks.
There you go. Yeah. December 14th through to the 23rd. there you go. And we should mention a quick shout out for Pat and the Kiwanis Festival of the Performing Arts. You're doing a Zoom performance on Christmas Eve, right after Tibbs Eve. You're doing a Zoom performance for the Kiwanis Festival of the Performing Arts.
Tib may be a hard act to follow. Shall I do a snippet?
Oh, I would love, I was going to ask, please, would you grace us with a snippet from A Christmas Carol?
The bells ceased as they had begun together. They were succeeded by a clanking noise, deep down below, as if someone were dragging a heavy chain over the casks in the wine merchant's cellar. The cellar door flew open with a booming sound. Then Scrooge heard the noise much louder on the floors below. Then coming up the stairs. Then coming straight toward his door. It came on through the heavy door, and a specter passed into the room before his eyes. Upon its coming in, the dying flame in the grate leaped up as though it cried, "I know him, Marley's ghost." The same face, the very same. Marley, in his pigtail, usual waistcoat, tights, and boots. The chain he drew was clasped about his middle and was made, for Scrooge observed it closely, of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, and heavy purses wrought in steel. His body was transparent, so that Scrooge, observing him and looking through his waistcoat, could see the two buttons on his coat behind. Scrooge had often heard it said that Marley had no bowels, but he never believed it until now. No, nor did he believe it even now, though he looked the phantom through and through and saw it standing before him, though he felt the chilling influence of its death-cold eyes. He was still incredulous. "How now? What do you want with me?" "Much." "Who are you?" "Ask me who I was." "Who were you then?" "In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley." Can you sit down?" "I can." Well, do it then." Scrooge asked the question because he didn't know whether a ghost so transparent might find himself in a condition to take a chair, but the ghost sat down on the opposite side of the fireplace as if he were quite used to it. "You don't believe in me?"
"No, no, I don't."
"But you see and hear me. Why do you doubt your senses?"
"Because a little thing affects them, and a slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. See, you may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are."
"Mercy, dreadful apparition, why do you trouble me, man of the worldly mind? Do you believe in me or not?"
"Quite, I do. I must. But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?"
"It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world and witness what it cannot share but might have shared on earth and turned to happiness.
The spectre raised another cry and shook its chains and wrung its shadowy hands. You're fettered, Jacob. Tell me why. I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain. Scrooge glanced about him on the floor, in the expectation of finding himself surrounded by some 50 or 60 fathoms of iron cable, but he could see nothing.
Jacob, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I've none to give, Ebenezer Scrooge. Mark me. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole, and weary journeys lie before me.
But we were always good men of business, Jacob. Were we not?
Business. Mankind was our business. The common welfare was our business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, benevolence were all our business. Our dealings were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of our business. Hear me! My time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be hard on me, Jacob. Pray,
I'm here tonight to warn you. You have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate. A chance and hope of my procuring Ebenezer.
Well, you are always a good friend to me, Jacob. Thank you.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
Is that the chance? And hope you mentioned, Jacob? I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow night when the bell tolls 1.
Couldn't I take them all at once, you know, and get it over with?
Expect the second on the next night at the same hour, the third upon the next night, when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more. And look that for your own sake, you remember what has passed between us.
Wow, an early Christmas present from Rod Beatty. Get your tickets for Rod Beatty's A Christmas Carol at Stratford Perth Museum. It's on December 14th through to the 23rd. Tickets are selling fast, so don't wait to the last minute. Kelly McIntosh with Stratford Perth Museum and the amazing Rod Beatty. Rod, have a great run with this show.
Thank you. You too. You're doing it on December the 8th.
Yes, that's right, with the Rotary Hospice Stratford Perth. Christmas Carol is in the air.
It is in the air, especially this morning.